Hello and welcome to our workshop, Wishing for More Cake Orders. And I'm delighted that you decided to join us. And in this workshop and with the video, there's an audio that you can download. There's a transcript. If you like to quickly read through what I've said, you can have a look at the transcript. And we also have a workbook for you, which I will give you the prompts as we go through the workshop, because you can actually journal some entries into it as you think of things that you want to add in there and things to remind yourself of. So, wishing for more cake orders. Why have I made this workshop? Well, a lot of the cake decorators that I spy on social media and people that have mentioned it to me to say, I've learned all of this craft skills. And I'm just really disappointed because people aren't queuing up for my orders. And I just don't want to be seen to be begging for work. I don't really want to advertise. Paying for advertisements is a pain, frankly. And there's lots of ways that you can get attention to your cake business if you knew how. So why are you not being recommended or contacted? And how can we gently fix that without being seen to be begging people? Your cake's really good. So where are the customers? Why aren't more coming in? But you see, there's only three actual ways to grow your cake business. Number one is to get actually more brand new buyers, more people finding you, more people knowing that your service exists. And of those frequent buyers, the buyers, we want more frequent orders, right? So people that return to you again, they just come back sooner for another cake because they thought that you, your cake and your service was actually second to none. And they really loved it and they're quite happy to come back for a second bite of the cherry or a bite of the cake. Excuse the pun. But also the other thing is, and this would make some girls or gentlemen, there might be a few gentlemen here, but it will make some people go, oh no, please don't make me do that, right? More valuable orders, and people go, no, they're just sitting there shuddering, going, oh no, it's bad enough asking for money in the first place for something that I've enjoyed doing. Don't make me ask for more money or make it more valuable. I can't bear it, right? It's bad enough to try and cope with just one payment, let alone customers buying a little extra on top, right? But the thing is, here's the thing. Most bakers actually only ever focus on just finding brand new customers, right? But there's so much more you can do. And this workshop will help you gently fix what is missing without shouting much louder at all and without doing a million things. So in your workbook, if you've downloaded it, printed it out, or you can fill it in on Google, if you make a copy of it, I'm getting my VA to make sure that you can get a copy of it and you can type it in if you don't want to print it out. Have a look and have a think, right? Which of these things is your current sticking point? I need more people to find me. Here's another one. My past customers, even though they waltz down my garden path, completely delighted with their cake box, they don't ever come back. That's a crying shame, really. My orders are too small and nobody adds any extras. And if you think of those three things that I've just said, honestly, a bit of everything, literally a bit of everything. So note down in your workbook why and where do you think things are stalling? Why are you personally not getting any more cake orders than you'd actually like, right? So, part two, why word of mouth isn't happening and you getting more buyers from the people that already bought from you? Well, there's seven common reasons why word of mouth isn't working. So, your customers aren't giving you a public shout out, and there's ways that you can train them to do that, right? They might, number two, they might assume you're too busy. Number three, they don't know how to refer you. Maybe you didn't tell them, right? Number four, you didn't ask them for a review or for them to tag you. If they're on social media and they know all about tagging, you didn't ask. You didn't include any business cards or labels inside the order box or stuck on the outside, so nobody else would know where the cake came from. The experience felt rushed or incomplete. You might have given them an absolute wonderful cake, but actually, when they reflect back on your customer service, they actually weren't that impressed with how you handled the order and how you handled the inquiries and how you handled the queries that they had about payment. So if they weren't 100% happy with how all that process happened before they picked up their absolutely top-notch 100% brilliant cake, they might not feel that confident about recommending you onwards to their best friend, for instance. So number seven, if the process felt chaotic or unclear, they perhaps won't tell another person. So in your workbook prompt for part two, which of these could be true for your last few cake orders? Now, you might be somebody that's just starting out and hasn't actually had any cake orders yet. So just bear with me, because this is for the girls that have had cake orders and they can reflect back on what could have happened better. I didn't ask them to tag me or leave me a review. How many people says, can you write me a review? Or in the olden days, you see people used to write notelets with a fountain pen. And they don't now, they write a review. But if you ask them, perhaps they will, if they were really delighted with your cake that you did. I didn't include any business cards or contact details. Did you? Didn't you? Was there a sticker on the box? One time my son had a cake. He lives a little way away, and it was a cake for a friend. And it was a lovely cake. And I said to him, where did you get that from? Because I thought to myself, well, I'd follow this girl on Instagram if I knew who she was. So we looked all around the cake box because he was gifting it to somebody for, I think it was a baby shower cake or something. Not a sticker, not anything. All he could remember was that the lady was somewhere in the next town next to us. He couldn't remember her name. He couldn't remember her details. And there was certainly no little white sticker on the box that declared who she was. They don't have to be that fancy. They can just be a little white sticker with your name and address and your telephone number on it. But at least somebody somewhere will be able to contact you again, right? I digress. Another workbook prompt. I never told them I'm open for more orders. Oh. They might have just assumed you were busy. And lastly, their buying journey wasn't smooth. So was it unclear details, messy messages? And if you've been around my world for a while, you'll know my thoughts on WhatsApp strings of messages and Facebook Messenger messages. And you can bet your bottom dollar on the day that you want to look at all the messages to find out what it is you're supposed to be making with this cake and what is the message that's going on the top, etc., the internet will collapse and your cable company will pull the plug out and you're in a right old pickle because you can't get hold of the WhatsApp messages because you never wrote down a hard copy and put it into a folder so that you knew hands on heart is actually what you should be doing with this cake. So can you imagine? Internet disappeared for the day. Today's the day you're supposed to be making this cake. You have a vague recollection of the size and you know it's probably chocolate or whatever. But you've now got to phone the customer and ask for all the details again because you can't read your messages because the internet's broken. It's like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. They need to have a buying journey that is smooth and you not ringing on the day you're supposed to be baking the cake to say, help, the internet's broken, right? So in your reflection, in your workbook prompt, part number two, what part of the experience for your customers could be made smoother and more shareable? Because if you've got a delighted customer, they're going to stick with you and they're going to shout your name from the rooftops for everybody that either attended the party and wants a cake in the future, right? So part three, fixing word of mouth. So getting more buyers. So how can we tweak things so that we do get a boost in referrals to get a third party to say, this person was really good and I thoroughly recommend her and here's her details, right? You could send an old-fashioned, right? I love old-fashioned, watermarked photograph after the party, but you could send it on electronically, but you could also print and post a thank you card with a photo and your sticker on the back. The sticker doesn't have to be complicated. This is my little sticker and it's just got my name, address and a telephone number on it. That's what could be on the back of a photograph. And can you imagine if you actually posted a photo with a card and a thank you for your order, how that would make a customer sort of sit upright and think, oh, we don't do writing and sending things in the post box, especially in the UK with the postage stamp costing such a lot of money nowadays. Let me tell you a story, right? It's a story about a chimney sweep, right? And he used to go to do the chimneys of his customers. And if they had a dog, he would make, because he loved dogs, he would make sure that he took a selfie with the said dog, and complete with all the smudges on his nose of the soot and that everywhere. And ultimately he would print it out and he would send it to that customer to say, thank you for your order. And again, he'd stick his own details on the back of that photograph. Now, can you imagine if that customer has got a fridge where you could stick fridge magnets on the front, right? That photograph of him with smudges all over his face and their pet dog is going to stay on the fridge front with a fridge magnet stuck firmly on there. If they've got wooden cabinets, they're a bit more likely to do it. But everybody that came into that kitchen for a cup of coffee would go, oh, look, you've got Bertie the dog with, who's that? It's a chimney sweep. How amazing. Oh, my so-and-so friend was asking for a chimney sweep. Quick, give me the details if they're in the district. Word of mouth referral from a picture which is stuck on front of a fridge just because that chimney sweep took the time and effort to get a printout of him with their dog and they loved it. So the same thing would happen if you could get a printout of their cake. Because let's think about this, right? If somebody's having a party and they've got maybe 50 guests at the local pub that's got a room attached to it, and everybody, Auntie so-and-so's coming from York, and so-and-so's coming from all over the country, right? How much time do you think that they've got between picking the cake up from you and delivering it to the venue where the caterers will take over and hopefully don't put it next to the ovens and melt the cake? Like they did, anyway, we won't mention the golf club incident with my cake. Anyway, that's another story, right? They haven't got time. The lady that is being the hostess of the party, where everybody's coming and turning up, they haven't got time to take a really decent picture of that cake without maybe a fire hydrant behind it or a window or a radiator, because that's where the caterers have now plonked, being a technical term, plonked the cake, right? So how grateful are they going to be in order to get a beautiful picture of their cake that they paid highly for, I hope, if you do any of my pricing workshops, right? And they are delighted because it's the only picture they got before anybody rushed around with the buffet and then it got cut and then it wasn't going to happen. So they've now got a picture and it's got your details on the back of it. So the picture is a really, really good way, as long as you make the effort to do it, right? So put cards inside and stickers on the outside of the cake box. Ask kindly for reviews, or if they're on social media, for tags. If they're not on social media, you say, can I have a tag, please? They go, oh, what's that? So make sure they're into social media before you ask for a tag. They might know what you're talking about. Say out loud to them, do you know what? I'm open for more bookings, or I've got a couple of spaces in, and then say the name of the month that's coming up next, or whenever it is that you have, right? Because if people realise that you're open for more bookings and they've been delighted with your service, why wouldn't they mention you? And what about, here's another one, why not offer a refer a friend bonus? How to get £5 off next time they order, and get their friend to have a £5 off. That takes a little bit of admin to work out how to do that and track it and make sure nobody's photocopying the ticket that you give them, and you'll need a little ticket as well that says this is a refer a friend bonus, so that looks nicely professionally printed out. Oh, and that reminds me, that's another thing. Maybe keep your eye out on Cake Goach Online, because we might get our graphics team to work out some little pre-done ones for you. So keep an eye out, and I'll have to write myself a reminder to do that. So workbook prompt part 3. Which of these could you actually put in place, say, this month? Let's have a try. Could you send post-party photos electronically with a watermark in the post with a very expensive UK stamp? I don't know about America here, but very expensive UK stamp. But because it's so expensive, people are really excited to get something interesting in the post that isn't a bill, quite frankly, or a reminder about a hospital appointment or something, right? Create thank you cards, print stickers. Actually say, I'm open for more orders when delivering, right? And start a refer a friend bonus. It's got in brackets here, design a little voucher. And I'm thinking, yeah, Cake Goach Online could do you a little voucher. But anyway, we'll see. But have a look, fill in your workbook, and think what else you could do. Part 4, encouraging repeat orders. So getting people to order from you more often. How do you go about encouraging loyalty? Well, you follow up warmly. You thank them for their orders, obviously. You mention future occasions. Now, if somebody's ordering a birthday cake, there's not any reason why they might not have another birthday cake next year. Now, it might not be for a party of 60 people, because it might have been a special big zero 50th birthday party or whatever. So now they're 51. So maybe they just have a small cake for the family for that year. But actually remembering when the birthdays have been, and remembering to diarise when that is, and maybe just to nudge them and say, oh, I have a space, did you want another little, you know, even some cupcakes or something for this year? Be proactive in asking. It's not begging, it's offering a service. Remember that, right? Offer loyalty bonuses or repeat rewards, which we've spoken about, the refer a friend bonus. But what about loyalty bonuses? What about come back soon, repeat rewards? What about a reward that has an expiring date on it? We've all had those that normally they're from the supermarket that says, have £5 off and use it in 3 days' time. And you go and look in your purse and go, oh, that expired about 3 weeks ago. That point is, into the rubbish it goes. But have a sensible time on when they can use this by, and stick to it. don't have anybody saying, oh, I've just found this all dog-eared in my purse, can I still use it? And it actually expired, you know, 9 months ago. It's like, that's up to you. You're the business owner, right? You can do what you like. You have to stay front of mind with cards that stick on the front of a fridge if they've got a stickable fridge, right, with magnets. Send thank yous. I know you're busy and you hope to be more busy with more orders, but if you get into a routine of what you want to do with your customers to keep them interested in your business and offer a better service than any of your competitors, then it needs thinking about as to what you could do to really stay front of mind, right? And what about combine with referral orders? So it's a bit more tricky, you know, my neighbor's ordering a cake and can I have one too, and is buy one get one free. I'm not saying do buy one get one free, because I think that's probably too much work for too little money, but you know what I mean. It's referral orders. See if you can get a combination of two cakes for the, you know, for the price of one, whatever. Just more orders in your order book. So, workbook prompt part four. Think of a recent customer and what could or would have brought them back sooner. Could you have sent them a reminder message? And how? How would that be? Would it be via email? You are collecting emails of all your customers as well as their address, etc., when you talk to them the very first time, aren't you? Right? Reminder message could be on WhatsApp, could be on Messenger. It could be on email. What about a loyalty offer or discount? Or a friendly check-in just before their next event? You could offer a sample box as well of tastes in different cupcakes so that they're dithering about, I don't know what, should I have lemon drizzle, should I have chocolate, should I have toffee, should I have banana, whichever, or can I have carrot cake? Don't know. What about if it was a sample box that had six different tastes in it and they could buy it? And then they could choose for their up and coming event. Just something to think about. But have a brainstorm and about gently loyalty things that people, that you could encourage people to come back and they'd enjoy you offering them, right? Okay. Part five, upselling. Getting bigger orders from existing customers. Now, this might send anybody into like, oh, bad enough asking for money the first time around, let alone upping the order value. But think of it like a service, right? So more cake orders doesn't always mean more customers. Sometimes it means one customer saying yes to a little bit more. And it's not about bullying them into buying more. It's about offering a service. Of them saying, oh, what a good idea. Yes, I'll do that. Now, I would say this, is it only do this if you looked in your diary and you go, if I offer Mrs. So-and-so an upgrade to her order, some extra bits and bobs and all the rest of it, have I actually got time? Is she going to turn around and say, oh, that's a good idea. I have 100 cupcakes. Thank you. And you go, no, I haven't got time for 100 cupcakes. I was thinking more like 24 or something. So maybe offer no before you say, would you like something extra on top of that? How much time you've actually got in your diary, that specific pickup date, tracking backwards. If you're busy that week, just keep still. Don't offer anything, right? Just be sensible and don't start asking for people to up their order if you haven't got time to do it. So matching cupcakes is a good one. You can make them complicated, you can make them simple, depending on the person's budget. You could offer them a side cake for extra guests or for freezing as well, because if they love your cakes, they might think, oh, we'd like some more of that. And we can just take a couple of slices out of the freezer after the event and relive the event all over again while we're looking at photographs of all the guests that came, whichever, but maybe an extra side cake. A personalised topper. Now, you may or may not be good at doing modelling. You may have a friend who's brilliant at modelling. A personalised topper can be bought off the internet. It could be a modelled thing. So I'm going to tell you a story. A fair few years ago now, I made my son, who was two at the time, a Postman Pat cake. So the cake was the little van, and there was a Postman Pat, yay so big, and his black and white cat, yay so big. Fine, lovely second birthday party, chaos, loads of two-year-olds, you can imagine, right? It was probably 2 years later, my daughter, who was older than my son, now my son was four, so that means my daughter was about seven, right? My daughter came running into the kitchen and she said to me, Mummy, Alex has eaten the cat's head. And it's like, we had a cat at the time, so this was a tad confusing. It's like, what? Excuse me? I went rushing into the dining room. And he'd opened the glass cabinet where obviously everybody keeps the personalised toppers that you may sell as an upsell, right? They keep them in with the glasses in the cabinet, getting quite dusty. Now, I have to say, the black and white cat, having been in there for two very long years, was probably a little bit dusty. And my son, aged four, had bitten his head off. So he's like, yay. He's now 30 odd. It didn't affect him. So, yeah, by the way, you can eat two-year-old fondant black icing and not die. But anyway, personalised toppers people do treasure as long as their sons don't come along 2 years later and bite their heads off. Okay, but it is something that you could offer, especially if you're good at doing the actual modelling as well. If you're not good at modelling, then delegate it to somebody who is and pay them a bit of money and put them on top of your exquisitely designed cakes and make sure you've got an exquisitely designed personal topper on the top of it, right? We've already mentioned treat boxes. What about a whole little selection of cupcakes in different flavours, which is what we talked about in the last part? That could be something where people could keep in mind if they had a little treat box of six different flavours. Next order, just make a note which one you really liked, and you can have that flavour for your next order. You could do party favours or extras for the school or for the office. Some people would like, if you're interested in doing cookies and then doing the flooding icing on the top of them, which are fairly intricate and very time consuming, I have to say. But you can have a think, what would you like to actually offer to your customers who might say, oh, I never even thought of that. Offer it like it's a really helpful suggestion and not a pushy upsell. Some people would like to order a matching box of cupcakes for the children, for instance. If they're having an adult barbecue with a birthday cake for the adults, then having some fun ones for the kids, if there's children there, if you've got a big crowd, you could add a side cake and keep the cost down per slice. If you don't want a massive, great big cake, so you've got a smaller one, and just so there's enough for literally everybody that's going to be at the barbecue, and they can always freeze it after the event, so you can tell them that, wrap it up well and put a date on it and make sure it gets eaten in a good timely manner. And who doesn't like a bit of cake that's now defrosted out of the freezer? But make it easy to choose. Use a short pre-written upsell menu if you want to. Always think of what time you've got around the time that they might be ordering these extras as well, which I've spoken about. Mention the options casually. You don't have to have this rigid, I've got to now tell you about my upsells options and all the rest of it, so they feel pushed into a corner and go, oh, I've got to choose something now, I feel really pressurized, right? Just suggest one thing, don't overload them, and just see if it feels like they are open to suggestions of having more things to offer their guests, right? Most importantly, know your prices. If you've been in and around my world for any length of time, you know I am really, really hot on knowing your prices, because that is the lead domino that leads to everything else, right? That will knock everything else over if you don't know it, right? Don't guess. Don't go, oh, give me X pounds, dollars, whatever it is. Don't guess. Know exactly how much that thing that they've now ordered on top of the other cake order, how much it's going to cost, how long it's going to take you, most importantly. So if you offer an add-on, make sure you know what it costs and you know what to charge, and confidence in your pricing and not hesitation will build trust. Somebody will say to their friend, oh, go to this lady because she knows exactly what she's talking about. She knows her prices. She doesn't add on things after the event. She's confident. Okay. And that is one of the big keys to getting more orders from your existing customers at the time of ordering. Okay. So what book prompt part five, right? Which small extras could you offer customers? A matching cupcake set, a side cake or a treat box, a sample box of future flavours. And wouldn't it be nice to have them get a sample box and future flavours and know that they're going to come back to you because they really loved one of the flavours, right? And the other question in your journaling workbook is, do you know what to charge for it? Yes. I have worked it out. Big tick. No, I need to check my costs first, right? So always check. Moving on, part six. What you're showing online or not showing, right? Now, some of you will be online and some of you go, no, Facebook's not a thing, or Instagram's not my thing. So if that's you, you can put your fingers in your ears and go, la, 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 not listen to this bit. But even so, some of the things that I'm going to say to the people that are showing online might apply to you without being online, right? So here we go. Common reason social media isn't generating any orders for you. Your bio is a mess and missing key details. Now here's one. No area listed, so people actually don't know where you are. I had a girlfriend. She wanted a cake. She was getting married at Alnwick, up right in Northumberland, where they filmed Harry Potter, right? And in the treehouse, like you do. You have your reception in the treehouse. Anyway, she was desperate for a cake to be delivered. She was right down from Cambridge. I can't remember where she was, but they were going to Northumberland deliberately to be having this wedding up in Alnwick and the treehouse. She could not find a cake decorator with an area around Alnwick. So she gave up in the end. She said, I just can't believe that people are not putting in the area where they are actually willing to deliver to or have collected from. It's not in any of the bios. It just isn't. So no area listed. People don't know where you're from. And that was the same for my friend who was getting married and having her reception in a treehouse. And she never got. In fact, actually, the end to that tale was she ordered cupcakes from somebody because she couldn't get a 3-tier or anything. And she had about 60 guests coming. And the cupcake maker at the end let her down. So she didn't have any cakes. I mean, that's tragic, right? This was up in Northumberland. Anyway. As far as showing online, no posts showing that you're available to order anything from. It's just, it's like nothing, completely blank, right? Your personal life overshadows your business. So are you doing a Instagram page that has got all of your holiday shots of your dogs and walking along the beach actually clouded with pictures of cakes? Or have you got lots of cakes and spatulas and mixing bowls so people go, ah, I get it, this lady is a cake decorator? So be warned, if you've got too many of your own personal life, people won't even clock that you're a cake decorator. Another thing that's quite important to mention is insurance. Have you got insurance? Does if it doesn't mention it, it doesn't feel professional because other people are saying insured, right? If you haven't got a clear post of here's how to order, how do people know how to order from you if they're in the right district, right? Having no evidence of happy customers or any social proof, what other people, what a third person has said about your business is really important, because it's not you saying, oh, I'm brilliant, order from me. It's other people, a third person saying that you're brilliant and not you saying it is really important, right? There's no smaller offerings other than the four tier massive, you know, 80 person cake available, or there's no pictures of anything smaller. So they're like, I'd like to order from this lady, but I'd actually like to taste her things first. And there aren't any tiny little tasting anythings or opportunity. So have a think about how could you make something smaller so people could actually buy from you, maybe buy from you more often as well. No smaller offerings for taste testing or low risk buying. That's another thing why people might say, oh, well, I'll go to someone that has got some low risk things I can try. The other thing is no urgency. August almost full type of messages. Book now. It's not begging for work. It's just saying that you're nearly full, right? And if you see somebody say, oh, I'm nearly full, it will make you book more quickly, right? So how do you fix it? You can fix it with a pin post that says what you do, where you are, and how to order. You can add your location into your bio. You can post a review or kind words from a customer. You can mention that you're insured if you really are. You can talk about what's popular this month. You can post a friendly selfie with cake boxes or simply, I'm taking bookings. You don't need a content calendar. You just need regular, clear signs of life and trust and friendliness, and people will book with you. So in your workbook, part 6, time for a checkup. Which of these might be missing from your social presence? My location isn't clear. In fact, it's completely missing. Is that you? I haven't explained how to order. There's no pinned post or highlight. I haven't posted any reviews lately. I've never said I'm taking orders. My profile feels too personal and unclear. So write down in your workbook, what are the two things that you could do this week to fix? Part 7, more ways to be found. There are 3 ways to be found by potential customers. One is organically, and that is through social media and word of mouth. And we've just spoken about how to polish up your social media presence. You can do paid ads, Facebook, local magazines, boosted posts. I would say with magazines, actually, if you get hold of the editorial people who are bored with writing copy for their magazine, you could offer them a post that they could put in about your cakes or whatever, and ask them if you can actually put a note at the bottom of how they can contact you. So you could write something about cakes or celebrations or whatever, and you will get into that magazine hopefully without having to pay for the space and without having to pay to advertise your name at the end of the article, right? Trust me, I've done it, right? So it could be paid, local magazines and boosted posts, the local magazines, cake decorating magazines. It very much depends on your location, because putting a paid advert into, say, a cake decorating magazine, which is going to go out countrywide, is not very helpful if you only live in Luton, for instance, and you only want people 5 miles from your front door. So think where you're actually going to put your paid advertisements and where you spend your money. Boosted posts as well is another thing. You need to be going out to people that understand where you are located. And the other third one is partnerships, baby shops, party venues, wedding suppliers. So before you choose where you need to be seen, you need to get clear on what you actually love doing, because your niche will help you find the right people. So for instance, if you absolutely adore doing very pale, pastel pale baby shower cakes, baby christening cakes, etc., antenatal clinics and baby shops are a great place to target. If you love doing wedding cakes, what about bridal shops, the venues themselves, the photographers that are going to take the pictures of the weddings? So what you specialize in will actually lead you on the path to where your customers will be. So if it's children's cakes, what about the school gate when you're picking up your children from school, making sure that people know that you're a cake decorator, the school notice board, soft play centres, party organisers. All these people are going to be running parties for children, and the parents of those said children will more than likely would love a cake, right? So think about what local shops your audience already trusts and where your name or flyer might be a welcome addition. Don't just go in and plonk 50 leaflets on the front of the counter. You need to ask first, especially you probably have more luck with the independent shops rather than the chains, because the chains say, I've got to ask my manager. And the independent shops, I had a student who was making cakes with animals on it, and actually she enjoys making cupcakes with little horses on them, and she went to the local farm shop that was next door to the stables and made sure that she got her horsey cupcakes in there, and they were delighted because it all was themed to their little market shop, so they loved it. So workbook prompt part 7, what cakes do you enjoy making most? Because if you establish that, where would those customers actually be? Part 8, the conclusion. So what I'd like to tell you now is a story about a lovely little shop that a friend of mine decided to open. And it was a shop that was for dried fruits and dried pulses and spices and all sorts of cooking implements and ingredients, right? It was a lovely little shop, smelled absolutely gorgeous. As you open the door, it went ding-a-ling-a-ling as you went through the door, smelled gorgeous. But do you know what? It was hidden up a cobbled alley. So my friend says to me, I don't know how to get more customers. So I put on my business coach hat and I said, do you happen to think that an A-frame chalkboard would work if you get the council's permission to not trip anybody up on the main street? Would that not work with a big, big arrow that points to the direction of the shop, like that way? I forget the name of the shop now. This way for your home spices and the rest of it. And do you know what? Her little A-frame board works a treat. She said, I can't believe it. I've got lots of people and they're coming back. They love my little shop. You're not being ignored. You're not. Just not being found. That was her problem. People did not know she was up the little cobbled alley. There was no other shops up there. It was just her in her very sweet little Victorian fronted shop. So, in conclusion, there's 3 ways to grow your cake orders in your business. You have to find more customers. You have more frequent repeat orders, and you perhaps encourage them to increase the value of their order at the time. But there's also three ways to be found: organically, which is word of mouth and via social media, paid promotion via adverts, magazines, and boosted posts maybe, and partnerships with other businesses. So my question to you is, what is one thing that you'll tweak this week so that more people can find you? So in your journal, it would be great if you can actually add in there what part of today's session hit home most for you, and what is the one tweak that you will try this week. Just remember, you're not being ignored. It's not because your cakes are horrible. They're probably absolutely marvellous, right? You're just not being found. You don't need to shout loud. You just need to make it easier for the next customer to A, spot you, and B, be so impressed with your service that they A, want to recommend you onto their friends and buy from you again themselves, right? So remember, three ways to grow your cake orders: more customers, more frequent repeat orders, higher value per order. And the three ways to be found: organically, which is word of mouth and social media, paid promotion, and partnerships with other businesses. So just remember, what is one thing that you'll tweak so more people will order from you more often and tell more people about you? So I hope you've enjoyed our Wishing for More Cake Orders workshop today, and I hope that you'll join us for more in the future too. So goodbye for now.